are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you. Man, 6 p.m. services are loud. Or is it just you guys at the back? I don't know. It's all right. It's all good. Sorry, I looked at them a couple times and gave them a mum stare to shh. But no, you're all good. Awesome. Finally here. Great. So if you don't know me, my name's Julia, and I work in reception here at LMC. And I'm a bit of an observer. For the staff at LMC, I'm always observing them, learning from them, and secretly chuckling at them. They do a lot of funny things. And the last time I spoke, I revealed that the number one question I get asked on reception, the number one most repeated question I get is, "Where's Andy?" Yeah, you remember. Yeah. And that was pretty funny. It was just too true. Like, everyone just resonated with it. And I can't tell you how many people came into the office just to ask me, "Where's Andy?" And then they left, and I was like, thanks for wasting my time. Or just the staff that would come up and say, "Hey, Jules, where's Andy?" And we'd laugh, and then they would be like, "But seriously, where is he?" But nah, it's all good. It's all a bit of a laugh. I enjoy it. But I thought for tonight, why not sort of continue on a bit of a theme? And I'd like to just walk away from my sermon just for a couple minutes and introduce to you my new comedy series, which is called the LMC Office Roast. And I have selected two staff members to roast this evening. And yes, they are both here. And yes, they are the youth pastors of Life Ministry Church. Matthew Burt. You're a good dude. You know that? You're a good man. You know that. Yeah, you know that, don't you? You also know you're good looking, don't you? Yeah, you know it. Yeah. So I have a mirror behind my desk. And I see lots of people walk past my desk, but no one walks past quite like Matthew. And this is kind of what he does. He walks past, so I'm here, mirror's there. He kind of walks past, does a bit of a side look, and just fixes his hair like this. I don't want to say he does it every time, so I won't say that, but it doesn't mean it's not true. Like I said, I'm always observing them, learning from them, and yes, secretly giggling behind my big computer. Nicole Devincentis. Devincentis. Where do I even begin? If you've ever had the displeasure of holding Nicole's phone, you will very quickly start to question whether or not she has crockery in her own home. Why? Why do you ask? Because as you hold it, it becomes apparent that she uses it as a dinner plate for her children. It's just covered in food and crusty, gross stuff. It's very, very disgusting. And even her computer, there's just splatters everywhere. And yeah, bit of a laugh. But I roast you because I love you guys. So yeah. So thanks for coming out tonight. This will be the last time you see me, as I expect to mysteriously disappear when I walk off the stage tonight. So yeah, I do these pranks, but no one ever gets me back. And so I guess I just feel like I have prank immunity. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. Yeah, I don't think so. Pray for me, guys. Pray for me. All right, well, let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to come to church and the freedom that we have to meet together, Lord, and to just explore your word and, Lord, to just live life together. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. And Lord, I really just pray, Lord, that as we dive in now, Lord God, that you would just take over. Lord, I've done the prep, but Lord, it's all up to you now. And so I pray, Lord, that you would just take the mic and that you will just speak, Lord, and let my words be your words. And may you just weave through, in and out throughout this message, Lord God. We want to hear you, and we know that you are speaking right now. So we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so the title of my message tonight is Fringes for Jesus. Fringes for Jesus. And we'll be reading from Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 48. So crack open your phone Bibles or your real Bibles or whatever you want, or you can check the screens and read along with me. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. What kind of, like, yeah, got my attention with this scripture is the intensity of the scene. So it says that a crowd welcomed Jesus. There was a crowd waiting for him and expecting him. All eyes were on Jesus. And it says that as Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And some other versions say that the crowds almost crushed him, and that crowds surrounded him from all sides. And you can kind of picture it. You might even be able to feel it, just that pushing and rubbing on your shoulders. That can be quite uncomfortable, a little bit chaotic if you don't like crowds. And, you know, if you've ever been in a crowd like this before, it kind of feels a little bit uncomfortable. I know that maybe at a live show, you might try to get to the front to get a good view, but it's just chaotic. There's people shoving and pushing in front of you, just squeezing in front of you just so they can stand right there and you can just have your face right inside their hair. It's just... It's chaotic, and that feeling is just sometimes not a nice feeling, but you might associate it with something a bit more like in an emotional way or in a mental way where, you know, maybe work-related, you just got things coming at you all the time, so many to-dos, projects coming out of your ears, or maybe with relationships, you've got family members who need caring for, who need looking after, stresses in friendships or marriages, or it could be health where your kids are sick and now you're sick and there's a virus going around, it's going to do horrible things, and it's just coming at you from all sides, and it's crushing and it's chaotic and it can be overwhelming. But scripture doesn't really reveal that this is what it felt like for Jesus. And that's the kind of funny and bizarre thing in this story, is that although Jesus was being pressed on all sides, number one, nothing points to him being overly fazed about it. I think that's just kind of his nature. He just sort of rolled with things. But number two, what did get his attention was the smallest touch on the fringe of his garment. So let's read on from verse 43. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus was so sensitive to the power at work within him, regardless of what was going on in his surrounds. And I'd like to bring our attention to that fringe. Do we know what it means? Do we know what that fringe represented? It says that the woman came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And that word fringe is the same word for tassels. And tassels were these woven knots that many rabbis and teachers wore on their garments. And you can have a look at the screen on kind of what they looked like, just as a bit of an example. These tightly woven knots with blue cord. And, you know, I guess let's explore that for a second. Why did people wear them? What was their significance? In Numbers 15, verse 37 to 40, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them to make for themselves tassels on the hems of their garments throughout their generations, and put a cord of blue on the tassel of each of them. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them so that you do not follow after the desires of your own heart and eyes, desires after which you used to follow and play the prostitute, but now that you may remember to do all my commandments and be wholly set apart to your God.'" So the purpose of the tassel was for people to actually remember not to follow their own hearts, and the scripture puts it pretty strongly, to not prostitute themselves after their own desires, but to remember all the commandments of the Lord and to follow them. One step further, what's also interesting is what Jesus says about the tassels. In Matthew 23, verse 5, he says this about the scribes and Pharisees, which were the respected teachers of the day. He says, "Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels." The Pharisees were known to be hypocrites. They were known for not practicing what they preached. And they used these tassels, something symbolic that was meant to remind them to focus on God's desires. They actually used them to satisfy their own desires and make themselves feel more important. And so when we come back to our main text in Luke 8, we see a woman touch the tassel of Jesus' garment. And in that moment, he followed the Spirit and he did what the Spirit desired him to do, and he was obedient. Now, why am I saying all this? It's very easy, and this is kind of, what I want to get to with my sort of analogies is it's very easy to get lost in the crowd and the chaos of being busy. It's the current of the culture today to just jump in, get busy, feel successful and important. And when we're focused on being busy, or when all our attention is on the things that we need to do, we are more likely to become preoccupied with our own selves and our own needs and desires, and we lose the focus of God. Being busy makes us feel important. I hear people say it all the time, like we're doing something productive, we're moving, we're not staying still. We don't like staying still, we must be moving forward, continually progressing through life. But we also forget how to rest. We're a restless society. We idolize busy lifestyles because we think that's the pathway to success. But what's the point? What's the point of being busy if at the end of the day it means we have to fill ourselves back up again just to take on another day of being busy? There's got to be more to it than that, and I really do believe that Scripture tells us that there is. So my point number one for tonight, I've got 3 points that I want to encourage you with tonight. Number one, be busy with God's business. Someone said, I don't know who, I think it might have been Louis Giglio, I don't know, wise person, said, if the enemy can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If you're busy in life, be busy for God's business. In other words, do his will. I'm not saying sell everything and work for the church or, you know, go move to Africa. I mean, unless that's what God's calling you to do, then yeah, go do it. But I guess the thing to know is that busyness in itself is not a sin. It's not wrong. But what are we doing with it? We don't want to just get swept up in the hustle of life. We need to be intentional with our time. And if we're busy, be busy with a purpose. Ultimately, first and foremost, be obedient to what God is asking us to do with our time. Pray that your busyness is a part of the assignment God has assigned you and that there is purpose in what you're doing. And I'll leave that between you and God to figure out. I guess the thing to remember with Jesus and this scenario, this story, is that no rabbi of that day would have felt someone touch the tassels on their robes, no matter how long the tassels were. That was not their intention. That was not their motivation. But for Jesus, even in the chaos that surrounded him, he was still able to bring healing and peace to a sick woman. There was peace ready to be given in the chaos. If we can't feel God's touch in the chaos of the crowd, why are we in the crowd? If we can't feel the Holy Spirit's pulling in the middle of our busyness, why are we busy? Let's not let the enemy distract us from what God wants us to do. Point number two, don't let your distractions end in your destruction. Have you ever been dangerously distracted? Like life-threatening distracted? I'm sure if you sat there for a second, you could think of a couple stories, but I'll do it for you. So a couple times I've been in the car and I've been distracted. And I remember a few years ago now, I just ran through a red light at an intersection. Just went straight through it. I can't tell you why. I was just listening to a song, but I saw a car go past and then I went through and I was like, huh? And it was very scary. I don't know what I was doing, but I was clearly distracted. There was this other time I had to drop my cousin off at work early in the morning, and on the way back, my phone alarm went off in my car, and it freaked me out. So I was like, you know, fumbling to turn it off. And then when I looked back up, there was this lollipop lady on the side of the road just jumping around and waving and yelling at me. And I was like, oh, what did I do? What happened? And I realized I was going 60 through a 40 zone. And she just was like going nuts. And it was just a split second. I got distracted and I missed the 40 sign. And it could have been destructive if someone was crossing the road, for sure. Or the other day, I was mowing the backyard. And I want to introduce you to little Denny. This is John Denver. This is my housemate Skye's little pup. And I was mowing the backyard, and I'll just let you guys have a moment. No, he's not that cute. Anyway, I was mowing the backyard, I finished, and I needed to wheel the garden bin back out the back gate towards the front of the house, and so Denny was running around. I was like, all right, let's go inside. So I put the dog inside, open up the back gate, bring the wheelie bin back around the front of the house, and then I came through the front door to go back to the backyard. And Denny's waiting there at the back sliding door, and without thinking, I just opened the door, and of course, he sprints out into the backyard, out the back gate. And if you're familiar with where I live, it's just like a block of units, and at the when you exit the back gate, you turn left and you just go straight to the court where we live. But if you turn right, there's a little path that takes you to Mount Dandenong Road, which is quite a busy road. There's just cars going all the time there. And anyway, he ran out and he ran left. And I was like, Denny, okay, come on, Denny. But then he's such a slippery little sausage that he like slipped through my hands and he started running right. And I was freaking out, I was chasing him, like, Denny, come, Denny. Just all thinking through my head, like, oh my goodness, I cannot let anything happen to this dog. And he runs down the path and he runs and then he stops just at the nature strip and starts rolling around in the grass. And I just snatch him off the grass and his car's just zooming past. And I tell you what, I handed him back to my other housemate and I just cried. It was very, very scary. But it could have been so bad. It could have been so much worse. And just for a split second, I was dangerously distracted in a moment. I just opened the back door without thinking. And of course, he's a puppy, he doesn't know what's good for him. He's going to run out into places that he hasn't been before. But we can be distracted in so many ways. You can take that photo down, Josh, because that's going to be a distraction. Yeah, thanks. We can be distracted in so many ways. You know, if things can be a good thing, but that might not necessarily be a God thing. And again, it's that quote, if the enemy can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And we can be doing a lot of good things, but there may be distractions from the God things. Sometimes we lie to ourselves and we say we're too busy to do this or that. But I think for me, I'm starting to see through it. You know, even just when I use that phrase, I'm starting to see through it a little bit. And maybe I'm just thinking maybe we're not as busy as we think we are, but maybe we're actually more distracted than we know. If you think you don't have time to read the Bible, if you think you don't have time to go to the church, if you don't have time to sit and pray and have a moment with God, you haven't run out of time, you've just run out of room for God in your day. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish but understand what the will of the Lord is." How many minutes, how many hours, how many days do we waste away doing things that God never called us to do? I don't want to, you know, hit the drum of technology is bad for you. I don't think technology is bad, but I do think we have unhealthy habits with our phones and we know it and we talk about it. But this year, 2020, if you haven't made a change, when are you going to do that? If that's a problem for you. Distractions can be attractive, but fruitless. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Be alert. The enemy is waiting to trip you up at every turn, even in the subtle things. Don't let your distractions end in the destruction of the ministry God has called you to, nor the relationship he wants to have with you. God wants to use every one of you to impact the people around you. My final point, number three, embrace divine interruptions. I think boundaries are a really good thing. I think it's really important to have boundaries in life and, you know, in your personal life, in work, with relationships. We can't let people suck us dry. We can't let work overcome us and be all we think about. We can't let money control us. But I think in regards to people, my question for you and for me, and believe me, this message is for me just as much as anyone else. I've already practiced and rehearsed it 5 times, so I've got the message truly well and clear, Julia, so thank you. The question is, do you allow yourself to be divinely interrupted? Part of the problem with being too focused on being busy is we can miss opportunities for God to use us, or we can too quickly justify or give excuses to why we can't. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. This reminds me that I'm not in control, and that's awesome. There's so much freedom in not being in control of your own life. And I think that's a real blessing of Christianity. Sometimes it might take us a while to sort of realize it. But as Christians, we surrender our lives to God and we say, have your way, God. You're in control. Have your way in my life. But we are responsible for the words that we pray. And we are responsible for the Holy Spirit and the power that he's given to us and that lives in us. Scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. There is greatness inside of us, and it's Jesus. Jesus was responsible for the power that was within him. And as Christians, again, we have that same spirit living in us. Back to our text, before Jesus had this encounter with this woman, he was actually responding to someone else's request. He was on his way to see a sick girl who was dying, but he was divinely interrupted and he allowed himself to be. If Jesus had any reason to hurry, it would have been because a young girl was dying, but even then he stopped. And I wonder, you know, scripture isn't always clear on time and these things, but I wonder how long he waited for the woman to come forward. I wonder how long she waited. Maybe it was only a minute, but when a girl is dying, every minute counts. And just a side note, because we're not really going to go much further into that scripture, but the rest of the story goes that the young girl died. She passed away, probably while Jesus was helping this other woman. Yet Jesus raised her from the dead. And again, this reminds me that when it comes to our concerns of not being able to get everything done and, you know, feeling like we're not in control, it reminds me that God will make a way if it's his way. The people wanted Jesus to heal the girl, but then she died and they said, don't worry about it, don't bother the man, don't worry, Jesus, don't worry. But Jesus went anyway and he raised her from the dead. When we give God our time, we accomplish the things God wants us to accomplish, even in ways we might not expect. Jesus was not focused on the crowd and he wasn't focused on being busy or rushing. His focus was and always will be the restoration and salvation of the lost and the sick and the broken. And we too need to have that attitude and discernment when we find ourselves interrupted. All we need to do is ask God, is this you? Are you interrupting? Is this a holy moment right now? And if it is, then embrace the interruption and don't worry about the rest. But if it's not, then put up the healthy boundary. There's nothing wrong with that. But remember, we have been given a gift from God. We've been given a message to deliver, the good news. And let's act on it when the Holy Spirit prompts us. Because at the end of the day, we want to be obedient to what God is asking us to do. So I'm not very good at divine interruptions. I can often be overcome by the amount of things that I need to do in my day and can very easily justify and overlook the things that might pop up that God might be saying, hey, look at this. But I really want to honour and thank like the pastors here at LMC. They set such an awesome example of this, of allowing themselves to be divinely interrupted. No matter how busy they are or what's going on, there's always this attitude that's ready to be interrupted for God's business. And like I said at the start, I'm always observing them. I'm always learning from them. And I'm secretly admiring them because they do set great examples. How can we prepare ourselves for the divine interruptions of life? So really quickly, back to the tassels. As we saw in the photo before, traditionally they had a blue cord tied in the knots. Now, of course, we don't know what Jesus' fringes or tassels looked like. They might have just been ordinary beige-coloured tassels. But for tradition's sake, the blue colour represents heaven or God's glory in the Bible. And so regardless of the colour, I just love the fact that when the woman reached out to Jesus' robe, she experienced a touch of heaven. And I believe that God wants to give people a touch of heaven through you, through me, through all of us. So I guess my encouragement is pretty simple tonight, just to surrender your busyness to God. Again, I don't think it's a sin to be busy, but if the enemy wants to distract us with busyness, then we need to be on guard and we need to be ready to hear God in those moments. Whenever you find yourself under the pump this year, just remember that God's in control and there may be an opportunity for you to stop and notice someone, to love on someone, or to spend a moment with them and to encourage them to pray for peace and pray for healing and offer someone that touch of heaven, ultimately blessing someone else by being obedient to God. So just as we close, like I just want to say that I am aware this message is part of like a much greater conversation, and I'm very aware of all the things that I just don't have time to say tonight, but I think this conversation could keep going, and I encourage you to, if this is something that's pressed on your heart, to keep exploring it and to keep, you know, coming back to what the Bible says about rest. You know, I'd love to talk about rest one day, maybe, but the Bible still talks about Sabbath day rest, and that's something that I know God is challenging me to focus more on this year, is what does Sabbath day rest look like for the modern Christian? but even just stuff like the delusion of FOMO, of fear of missing out, and how that impacts our life and our time and our busyness and what we try to achieve throughout our day. But the main point is, be obedient to what God is calling you to do. And we need to know what his voice sounds like in the silence so we can identify it when life is really loud and when life is really chaotic and busy. So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for the example that you set, Lord, and I just think about, you know, just the crowd and what that would have felt like, and if I were you and how I would have felt like and responded in a crowd like that. And Lord, I guess the question that keeps coming to my mind is, will I be able to feel you when it's busy? Will I be able to stop and listen to your voice when my mind is crowded with so many other thoughts and so many other to-dos? Lord God, we want to grow in our relationship with you. We want to learn what the sound of your voice in every season of life, Lord God, so we can be connected and in sync with you, Lord God. Lord, I pray for anyone who's facing a busy year, or maybe it's already been a busy couple of weeks. Lord, let this be a really gentle reminder that you work in the busyness, and that you don't isolate us in the crowd, that, you know, you don't get lost in the crowd, but you're actually right there with us. Lord God, we want to be able to hear your voice in every season of life, and we just pray, God, that you'll continue to teach us what that looks like, Lord God. We thank you for how you're moving in this place, Lord God. Lord, for those divine interruptions, Lord Jesus, I'm just so aware of the fact that as a society we are so busy And Lord God, I don't want our evangelism to be reduced to just divine interruptions. But Lord God, we want to make room for you to move in our lives. We don't want to just, let it happen when it happens. But Lord, we want to make room for you to move. So Lord Spirit, guide us in all things, whether it be work or family or finances or social times or church or whatever, the way we serve. Lord, let us make room for you to move. We thank you so much for what you're doing in this place, and we pray that you'll continue to do a good work in our hearts, Lord God. We love you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.